Among the books of the Bible, there's a rather wide variety of books. We refer to it as the Bible, and it is the one and only Word of God. But it's a library. It's a library of 66 different books written by a variety of different men. Some of them are history books. Some of them are poetry books. One of them is a song book in the book of Psalms. Some of them are letters. Among the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, there's two very different kinds of letters that he wrote. Some of them are very in-depth treatises, studies of theological truth. Romans, Ephesians fall into that description. Some of them are letters of encouragement and very personal and intimate writings. Paul wrote to Timothy as a young preacher. Paul wrote to Titus as a young preacher, as a mentor to them. Paul wrote to a man named Philemon. And it's one of the more unique books among Paul's writings. One of the more unique epistles that he wrote. I want to read from that book today, three verses of Scripture. We'll talk a little bit about the background of the book and why it's so unique. But I want you to notice something from this book that has to do with each of us. Philemon lived a long time ago. His background is definitely different from ours. And yet he had one thing that Paul addressed that's the same for all of us. I mentioned earlier that I received a message on Thursday requesting that I take part in the minister or have a presentation in the minister school. And I began to look at what they were asking me to deal with, and it had to do with this passage of Scripture. And I will say to you, there are some things particularly poignant to the ministry in it. But I would say that there are some things that are not only poignant and important for all of us, they're very timely and very needful for us in our culture today. I want to talk with you today about what Paul refers to in his writings to Philemon as the church in thy house. The church in your house. If you would, read with me, please, from the very brief epistle, one chapter, of the epistle to Philemon. Chapter 1, the only chapter, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he spoke of himself as being constrained by the grace of God. He was bound by God's call. He was bound to Christ by the blood which washed him and paid for him. He was bound to Christ by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that brought him into the family of God. He was bound to Christ by a call of purpose as a messenger of the grace and the mystery of the kingdom of God. Paul saw himself not as he was a prisoner of the Romans, and he was confined to location. He was often beaten and he was physically mistreated. But that's not the kind of prisoner that he sees himself. He's a prisoner of love. Love which called him and drew him and held him and constrained him. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to talk with you first of all about the man Philemon just a moment. We're not told a great deal about him. But what he is says a lot to us about how it will apply to us. Philemon was, first of all, a man in the city of Colossae. He was part of that church to which the Colossian epistle was written. He was a faithful believer. He was apparently a very wealthy man. One of the reasons that that can be said is that he was a man who owned servants in his household. That comes into play as part of what Paul is writing about in this letter. But he was a wealthy man. He was a respected man. He was a well-known man. He is a man to whom Paul writes along with his wife, the beloved Apphia, which is spoken of, is apparently his wife. That's a female name, and it's listed next to him in the order of things, and so it's understood that Apphia was his companion, his wife. And there was an Archippus, who was also a fellow soldier. Philemon was a fellow laborer. It seems that it's very possible that both Philemon and Archippus were ministers of the gospel in the city of Colossae. The terms that's used as fellow laborer and fellow soldier are terms that Paul uses in other places in writing to the ministers. So that's why I said there were some of the things that could be said about this passage that were unique to the ministry. However, the first thing you notice is that Philemon was a husband. Philemon was married to a woman named Apphia. Philemon was a man who had a family. Philemon was a man who had a household. And in that regard, Paul is addressing this man who had this household because of a difficult situation. I read one commentator that said he probably included the writing to Apphia, perhaps because he knew that she could help influence Philemon in terms of what Paul was going to ask. You see, Paul was writing on behalf of a runaway servant. One of Philemon, now I noticed that Philemon and Apphia were well known to Paul. They are addressed as beloved individuals. Some that Paul had known well. One of their servants, a man named Onesimus, ran away. Now we live in a culture today in which the idea of servants, slavery, and all of those things are very repugnant to us. But keep in mind that it was something that was widely practiced in the culture of that day. Sometimes it was practiced because one person would take on the debts of another person. Sometimes it was taken on because of an offense that had been created. Sometimes it was taken on simply because they would buy the servant and their servitude. Now, without going into the moral or ethical part of it, the fact of the matter was Onesimus was obligated to Philemon as a servant. And he ran away. He violated the trust that Philemon had in him as a laborer. He violated the relationship of the household. He ran away, and apparently, based on what we find in the writing, he went to Rome, and there went to where Paul was held in house arrest. And you know, Paul was under house arrest in Rome for some say as much as 2 years. And while he was there, he was converted in the faith of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to Onesimus, writes regarding Onesimus back to Philemon to encourage Philemon to receive him back into his household, not as a disobedient servant, not as a failing employee, not as someone worthy of chastisement or punishment, but as a brother in Christ. Let's be honest, folks. Isn't that one of the most difficult things that all of us, in the grace of God, are often called upon to do? To forgive someone fully and completely who has offended us, without a grudge, without a barrier, without a hesitancy, that when they come back in repentance, that they be received in full fellowship. Many people are ashamed to come back and ask for forgiveness because of the way they've behaved. They've run away, perhaps, from a relationship. Many are ashamed to come back to the church because of something they've done. But the fact of the matter is, Scripture says we are to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And you see, when Christ has forgiven us, it is full, it is complete, it is unhindered, it is unlimited, it is unbound, and it is a relationship that is to be embraced. Onesimus had that experience in Christ in his relationship with Paul. And now Paul says to Philemon and to his wife and to his household, receive this man back. Reestablish that relationship with him, not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. Now I would tell you, my thought would be Philemon probably received him back as a servant, because if Onesimus came as a brother in Christ, he understood that we are to serve one another, and he was willing to serve. He didn't come back with an arrogance. He came back with a love for Philemon, who would receive him. But when Philemon received him back, when Philemon and Apphia received Onesimus back, it comes into the statement that's made in verse 2 that is really applicable to all of us. And that is that in our household, there is the church in thy house. Have you ever thought about your spouse, your sibling, your parent, your child, your grandparent, your cousins, all those relationships as an embodiment of the church of Jesus Christ
in your house. You see, that's the way that Paul wrote about Philemon and about Apphia's household. Now, you could say, well, back then, the churches met in people's homes. And that's true. But you see, the church that met in that town was the church of the Colossians, and Paul wrote an entire epistle to them, and it dealt with some subjects that none of which are dealt with in this letter. What's dealt with in this letter has to do with his household, with his family, with that which was embraced within his immediate and intimate fellowship. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I think that's something that we miss a lot of times today, is the impact of that reality. When I began thinking about this, I thought about how many times, stop and think for a minute, how many different names have you heard used, first of all, to describe children? All of them were not real kind. All of them are not real endearing. One that stood out in my mind, there used to be a cartoon called The Rugrats. Now I understand children crawling around on the floor. They do that. And I'm glad they're able to do that, because that's how they reach the point where they stand up and walk. But there ain't nothing rat about them. There's other names. Hey, listen to the way people talk about spouses, husbands, wives. You see, we have a relationship with people, by which we live with them every day. We deal with them every day. And sometimes the closer we are to people, be honest, there are times when we get tired of them, don't we? There are times I just like to turn my back and say, go away. You get on my nerves. I get on your nerves. And all of those things. That's the human way we look at one another. But I'm going to tell you that there's a way we need to very keenly be aware of. And I think here at the first of the year, as we make our New Year's resolutions and we start our new patterns and all of the things we try to do, we need to carefully think that that household is the church in our house. The church. The loved ones, the church that abides in their house. It comes from a word, ecclesia. A word which means the called out. Those who have been called out. Believers in Jesus Christ are not just folks who get smart enough to decide they're going to do something. They are individuals who are the recipient of the call of God's grace. Jesus said in John chapter 6, no man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him or call him. We look at Ephesians chapter 1, a bit familiar words of Scripture, but I want you to notice a couple of things. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I start at verse 4 here, but you'll notice that he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That blessing is not something that he adds to God. It is a praise that he gives to God. He recognizing that God is the one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. not next to Christ, not around Christ, but in Christ. According as, or by means of, His having chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He called us in Christ. He draws us in Christ. He said in the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, folks, if Paul goes on to say that He chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children, there's the family, by Jesus Christ to Himself, our Heavenly Father, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God has chosen His people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every generation of time. And He draws us to Himself. The called out. You remember what He said, what Paul said in writing to the Corinthian church? He said, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He calls us into Himself. He calls us in Christ. He draws us to Himself, but He calls us to come out from among the world, to be different from the world about it. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. That's the way we think of the church when we meet here. That's the way we think of the membership of a congregational body. That's here. That's not home, right? When we go home, it's different. No. The point is, those that God has chosen in Christ and drawn by His grace and redeemed in His blood and quickened in His Spirit are just as much God's family when they're inside our household as they are when they're inside these walls. They are the church in our house. They may be that lady sitting back there that's put up with me for 49 years. She may be my wife, but she's my Heavenly Father's child. The two children that He blessed us to have, they may be mine at times that I wish I could say. Oh, I'm glad I can say, oh, they're mine. Times I wish I could say, I don't know. You ever have that? But no matter what I feel, by their profession of faith, they're His children. The same way I'm His child. And I like to think about His grace that forgives my sins. And I like to think about His presence that strengthens me. And I like to think about His love that He's bestowed upon me. Well, I got news for you, folks. The first thing I need to think about that lady, and I need to think about those children, and I need to think about those in my household, is that He's put that same love on them. And He loved them enough to die for them. And He's called them out. And they're the church in my household. They're not just my family. They're the Lord's church. Now, that being the case, what kind of practical impact does that have? I'm going to give you three things pretty quickly. Three things that it ought to make us very aware of. The church in our house is as much the church to be instructed and to be taught and to be made aware of the message of God's grace as is this body when they come here. Now, granted, every time is not a sermon. My kids decided they had enough of that when they were growing up. But do you understand that we live
daily in such a way that they hear God through what we do? Or we drowned out God, that they don't hear Him because of what we do? You ever heard somebody say, "I can't hear what you're saying, what you're doing is too loud"? Sometimes we do that.
But I want you to notice what was said when Peter was drawn to the household of Cornelius, beginning in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose name, surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak to thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God.'"
You see, they were drawn together that the message of God would be brought to them.
"Well, I'm not a preacher. I can't give that message." Oh, but remember what God said to Israel? They were to write God's laws, the commandments, and they were to put them up over their door facings. They were to put them up on the walls in their house, so that when they went about their activity, when they were rising up, when they were sitting down, when they walked with their children, the word of the Lord would be present.
You see, folks, the church in our house is to be, by our words, by our actions, by our examples, the place where God's principles are taught.
One of the problems that I see in the contemporary churches of today, and when I say contemporary, I'm talking about time-wise, not style of worship. Okay, I'm not pointing at one style or another. I'm talking about what's going on right now. One of the things that I see is the disconnect between what goes on at home and what happens when we bring folks to church. "Well, we're going to go to church and y'all listen, but somehow or another, what goes on over there don't always translate to what goes on back home." You see, the first practical impact, if I keep the reality that my family is the Lord's church in my household, then I'm going to understand that His message is to be the preeminent thing in my actions, in what's available in my house, in what I teach, and how I live. Second thing, if God has loved and cared for each member of them, we're to love and care for them as Jesus did, ready to give ourselves for those who are in the church in our house. How much competition goes on between members of families? How much power struggle goes on inside of our homes? How much stress is created because we're trying to get ahead of somebody else? Rivalries. Isn't that little word? "Oh, we have sibling rivalries." And that's supposed to be a good thing. No, it's not. We have differences between children. Yep. They're not all going to like the same thing. Right. But they're not in a rivalry with one another. If they're in a rivalry with each other over our affection or over our behavior, we've missed the boat. The fact is, all of us as the Lord's church are first of all to consider others above ourselves. And that's true for the church in our house as well. We're to desire the fellowship of the church in our house. We're to want to be with one another. We're to want to share that relationship with one another. We're to want to spend it. Oh, home is where you go when you can't go nowhere else.
When I was in college, that's what I used to be told. I'm going home. All home where you go when you can't go nowhere else. No, home is that place where I find the Lord's church in the most compact and the most intimate unit. I don't have time to get into it, but you see, the family is the example of the relationship between us and God. And it's the smallest unit. Husband and wife, parent and children. That's true of the church. Our families are the unit. If we're in a new year, we've got a new day. We get that new year one day at a time, by the way. Every day that we're given the ability to get up out of bed with our spouses, with our children, with the broader spectrum of whatever relationship, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, family members, within our scope of relationship. You see, folks, we need to be conscious that if they're believers in Jesus Christ, they're the church. You know what Jesus said about the church? He washed us and gave Himself for us. They're blood-bought children of God. And how do I treat them? How do I act toward them? How do I think toward them? I would say to you today that I would have to confess that I had not been as I fully ought to have been. But I hope I can be more today, tomorrow, and the day after that. Because you see, when Paul looked at this man, he didn't have a perfect household. He was a preacher, but he had a problem. Onesimus ran off. And he had to deal with forgiveness. We have to deal with forgiveness. But you see how important that is? Because it's in our house. If we can't do it with the church in our house, we can't do it with the church when we get down here. Every day, we address the church in our house. Every day, we deal with the church in our house. The family of God, bought in Jesus Christ. It's not a legalistic unit. It's not an economic unit. It's not an educational unit. It is, above all else, a spiritual unit. May God help us to see, to understand, to love, and to rightly demonstrate our love to the Lord's church in our house. May God help is my prayer.